Good morning to everyone. I'm very happy to be here again to share some of our research results regarding our ongoing studies on carbon, soil carbon dynamics and greenhouse gas emissions. Just to give you a short introduction on our agricultural and environmental context, even in southern Brazil, what we all have heard about expanding agriculture in Brazil. Agriculture started over 100 years ago in southern Brazil, and it's still expanding now over the grasslands in the western part of this area. And there's a great interest in soil organic matter dynamics, especially in these new areas that are being opened up, as well as the greenhouse gas emissions throughout the whole region. So we are in the southernmost part of Brazil. This is Rio Grande do Sul state. We share border with Argentina and Uruguay. So we're in a subtropical context, very different from the mainland central Brazil, which is totally tropical, as you may well know. We are taking advantage of a series of long-term experiments that have been in place for over 30 years in two different locations. So we use one location for calibration of our Descent application, and we are using this other location for the validation study. So in one of these locations, it's a higher altitude, almost 700 meters, has about 1700 millimeters of precipitation, cooler climate, almost temperate. And the other experiment, this is in our university, it's a lower lying area, over maybe 60 meters altitude, less precipitation, hotter climate. So both experiments are 30 years old. And I won't go into the details of the experimental design, but you can see that we have conventional tillage and no tillage, which is one of the main technical advances in agriculture in Brazil in this last three decades. But you can see that we have different combinations of corn, soybean as summer crops, and some winter cover crops or grain crops such as oats and wheat. We are taking advantage of the Descent model, which has been developed over the last 20 years at Colorado State University. And I have one student that's doing a postdoc. Well, he's still finishing his PhD degree, but he's spending a year there advancing on Descent calibration and validation. So this is part of his PhD work that I'm presenting here. And this is summarized overview of the model. There's a plant growth model, there's a water model, as most of the soil nutrient dynamics models have, and the difference between century and the older century model that you may have heard about is the what is highlighted in red here. These are the gas modules, and another key difference between century and Descent is the daily time step that is required for any greenhouse gas emission model. So quickly, without going into the details of the model, you can see that it's a fairly complex combination of algorithms involving water, soil, plant in different contexts. So the objectives of this study are to calibrate and validate the Descent model for the major grain producing areas of our state, which comprises about 7 million hectares grown every year, and there's a lot of interest in seeing how different scenarios, climate scenarios, soil management, and crop rotations will perform. So this is a further step. Once we have the model calibrated and validated, we'll attempt to use to test different scenarios, as I said. Both experiments have greenhouse gas sampling, usually a 15-day interval. Of course, it's increased closer to planting and around key management dates, so 15 days is kind of an overall average, but that's not enough when you want to look into the details of the management. So then you have, in those situations, you have sampling every day. And the setup is quite standard, the static chambers, collars into the ground, and then we do the gas chromatography in the lab. So some of the early calibration results, we follow pretty much what is recommended by the developers. We start with the plant production model, and here you can see both in conventional and no tillage. And conventional tillage will include, in our situation, one deep plowing operation and maybe one or two disc harrow operations. So this is our context. And no-till, we wish, would involve no soil management. Most of the time, there's only soil movement along the furrow opener, so that's a very limited amount of soil movement over this 30-year period of this long-term experience. But you can see that the early calibration work allowed some close matches between the biomass production for the different crops that are grown. We must acknowledge that Century has a very coarse plant production model because it's not a plant growth model, it's a soil dynamic, soil nutrient dynamics, and now greenhouse gas model. So sometimes it's quite a challenge to calibrate the biomass production, but in this case we got a close agreement. Those are cumulative, average for the biomass production for the crop growth season. So, as I said, soil organic matter is a key issue, and the calibration step achieved a close match. And you can see that in both situations, maybe I can use the pointer here, you see that soil carbon is quite stable in these experiments, even under no-till for the last almost 30 years, 29 years. And in conventional tillage, we still observe a little decline, and the model, the fitted they sent output could not really catch this sort of more or less dramatic drop in organic matter that has been observed. Maybe I shouldn't say dramatic, but it's still decreasing over 30 years. And in no-till, we have stable organic matter, soil organic carbon stocks. Another critical step, especially for greenhouse gas modeling, is the soil water. And here you see the results, comparison between the no-till and the conventional tillage wheat-soybean system. And we chose those to show you because this is what the farmers usually grow, wheat in the winter, soybeans in the summer. So this is the predominant soil management cropping systems that are in place there. And you see that, at least visually, we got a pretty decent match between observed and simulated water content to 10 centimeters depth. So I must highlight the N2O fluxes because there are some influxes in some places here that were observed, and this is something that, where is the arrow? You see there are some instances where we have influx of N2O, and the model is not able to capture that. It only assumes that the algorithm only will show N2O effluxes. But we still have some way to go as far as the calibration. As you can see, we have some dramatic peaks at some points. Oh, here's the arrow again. And the model could not capture these extreme events of N2O emissions. And those are related both to nitrogen application, side dressing of nitrogen in the wheat crop, and combined with higher water content. And in the conventional tillage, you have pretty much the same pattern going on. And in the in-between cropping systems, then the background, the baseline emissions are quite similar, and the model can capture that. So one of the key issues here is to calibrate additionally to capture these peaks and make them coincide. You see that there's a peak here, but it's lagging behind the measured event. Again, if we add it up all up, we integrate that curve, and then we get a cumulative fluxes. You see that the matches are fairly close. So you have the observed and the simulated cumulative fluxes here, especially the conventional tillage in this situation, and here with the no-till wheat-soybean, the most common system in our state, they're fairly close. and you also must acknowledge that we have a high standard deviation in this field measurements, which is quite common in greenhouse gas measurements. You have the CO2 efflux, and I won't go into detail, but one of the issues is that Century model, the Dasein model, cannot capture, it takes additional calibration to capture autotrophic respiration. So that's one of the mismatches. We are overestimating the emissions here. Well, the statistical analysis show the low correlation, but we do have quite a decent fit between observed and modeled data, which is shown by the lack of fit statistics. So what we did is we took data from a different experiment to validate. So we calibrated one long-term experiment, and there are some other ongoing long-term experiments. We use that to validate. This is all no-till, similar cropping systems, wheat, soybeans. And you see that performance, we still have the same pattern of some emission peaks that are not captured, still not captured by our calibration in both systems. And this is this will require some additional work. And what we are calling a stress test, we are for this study, we are taking the model to the different location, hotter, lowland, less precipitation, in the other site, our university site close to where we work. And you see that the same pattern is here again. We don't capture the peaks. But overall, in most of the time, we are having a close match between observed and model N2O fluxes. And the validation shows that at least the lack of fit statistics is fairly decent across these two growth seasons that we are showing. And the cumulative emissions, again, perform better because you kind of even out the extremes that we see in the daily time step version. Concluding remarks. Our conclusion is that N2O calibration with the Century Dasein model is quite complex. We still have some ways to go. That's why we have a student up in Colorado State working on this. The issue of autotrophic respiration requires additional calibration, especially of the plant production model, so sub-model. So the Dasein model can actually simulate heterotrophic and autotrophic respiration, but it requires quite a long ways in calibrating the plant production model. I didn't talk about methane here, methanogenesis. It's not included here. Except for the newer versions of the model, there's no ability to simulate methane efflux. It only simulates methane oxidation in soil. So we didn't even show this data, but it's very important in our situation where we have quite a lot of rainfall. And finally, we always must question the accuracy of our field measurements. Measuring greenhouse gases is quite a complex deal, especially with the static chambers. So to finish up, what we'll do next after the calibration validation steps is integrate Dasein simulations with GIS, create simulation units using soil, land use change, land use, different cropping systems, soil maps, and do a regional simulation as we have done for the Century model in the past. Thank you.